You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's pro athletes are responding to demonstrations in the wake of George Floyd's death. We're looking at their calls for change and plans to restart league play. Earlier this month, the Packers released a video they called Enough is Enough. It's Aaron Rodgers and 11 of his teammates looking directly into their cameras. Here's some player sentiment.
People who look like me should not be afraid around law enforcement.
I'm human, just like all of you. My blood is red. My heart pumps that blood. I'm a human, too.
How is the pro athlete you admire responding to the protests and failures to deal with racism on and off the field? How have your favorite sports been affected by the pandemic? When and how should play resume? We're at 800-642-1234. Olivia Reiner is a sports multimedia reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she covers the Packers, Brewers, and Bucks. Olivia, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited and happy to be here with you this morning, Kate.
How are professional athletes here in Wisconsin responding to the death of George Floyd?
They are responding very publicly. I think social media has really changed the way that any of us can respond to any topic, and plenty of the Packers, the Brewers, and the Bucks have been taking to social media to spread their thoughts, taking to Twitter, to Instagram, and I think it's been really interesting to watch it all happen. I think one of the more interesting people on the Packers team that I've gotten to talk to over the last couple weeks following the death of George Floyd is Packers right guard Billy Turner. He and I had a conversation just a couple weeks ago, and he's been really active on social media and sending out the messages similar to the one that we all just heard right now in the Packers video. He's been trying to make a statement over the last couple weeks with his teammates.
There are these videos from teams and from leagues circulating on the internet addressing racism and the protests. What do you think of these presentations?
I think they're a good first step. I mean, it's good to put the message out there and for the teams to show how they feel or how they want to operate going forward. However, they're just words. Until they're able to put some action behind those words, they can only be taken as words. And that goes for any organization that's put out any statement across the country. There has to be some action to back that up. And that is going to take some time and some thought and some meetings. Hearing from head coach of the Packers, Matt LaFleur, he's talked about meeting with his assistant coaches and discussing what an action plan might look like, things that can be done immediately going forward to make the Packers start to dismantle aspects of systemic racism in this country, whether it's making sure all the players are registered to vote. And hopefully we'll get to see exactly what that vision looks like going forward. But there needs to be action behind those words.
Yeah. Is there any timeline that you've heard for these action steps to get off the ground?
At the team level, there hasn't been much of an indication as to exactly what that list or when those actions will be put in place. We know the Packers have said that they're dedicated to donating $250,000 to organizations in an effort to combat systemic racism. We know that Packers CEO and President Mark Murphy is going to be matching that donation with his own money. But besides that, that's really all we know in terms of the action. And we know also that there's certain players, like I mentioned, Turner's a player that does his own philanthropic efforts. He's from the Minneapolis area. And after speaking with him, he's working on some plans himself to start doing something on an individual level to give back to his community in Minneapolis. However, when it comes to the organizations, we haven't exactly seen what those steps are going to be besides the monetary donation.
Switching gears here to the Brewers, how have the Brewers responded to the demonstrations against police brutality and the calls for change?
They've released their own team statement, and there have been individual players taking to social media to also talk about what's going on in the world. But besides that, unfortunately, the talk of the MLB recently hasn't really been focused on not only police brutality or the death of George Floyd or even the coronavirus, but it's really been focused on negotiations between the owners and the Players Association when it comes to figuring out when and how the season will restart. And the negotiations have been going on for quite literally months now. And every day there's new news about essentially what the owners and the players disagree on. They have agreed to disagree on just about everything. And unfortunately, that has taken over the narrative of this season.
Olivia Reiner with us, a sports multimedia reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about the era of sports right now and how teams are responding amid the pandemic and the systemic racism and the death of George Floyd. You can call in with your insights on what sports you're thinking about right now, how your sports are affected. 800-642-1234. So, Olivia, the Bucks organized a march in Milwaukee about 2 weeks ago. What did you see and hear during that march?
Yeah, so the Bucks were out there being led by players like Giannis Antetokounmpo, as well as forward Sterling Brown, who has had his own run-in with the police in the past. He was arrested outside of a convenience store or a drugstore last year. And they have been standing in solidarity with the protesters, which has been it's been an interesting thing to see. And they're not the only professional athletes that have been going out and protesting and calling for change. Even certain players across the league, especially like Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving, has been raising the question, should NBA be returning to play in light of the bigger social justice issues that need to be addressed in this country? Is going back and starting up the season again the right thing to do when there are bigger issues at hand? And we've seen WNBA players take some time away from the game and deciding to take away their time from playing in the league right now when it restarts. Like in the past, Maya Moore, for example, has taken a break and said, hey, we need to focus on other things. So there's discussions are also happening at the same time while certain players are deciding to protest and just support their other teammates in whatever decision they decide to make as to whether or not they want to play this upcoming season.
So it seems like the NBA, though, is pretty deep into a plan for restarting next month in Orlando. What does that look like?
So right now, all of the dates are tentative in theory. However, they do have more of a concrete plan than, say, the MLB does, which I suppose isn't saying very much. However, they do have the tentative training camp start date as June 30th. And then teams would actually head out to Orlando to play in what they're calling a bubble. So all of the upcoming games in the NBA season, the rest of the NBA season, is going to take place in Orlando. The teams would head out there July 7th. And then the season would supposed to start on July 31st. So they would play about eight seeding games, and then they would play the rest of a normal playoff schedule. And that would all happen at Orlando at Disney World at ESPN's Wide World of Sports. They have three courts down there, and they play all the games spread out over the next few months. So it's a plan. They have a plan. They have some health protocols in place. But there are certainly still some questions and some things to keep an eye on going forward.
Well, how do the Bucks fare here? Because, you know, going to do eight regular season games and then before playoffs and then, you know, to the playoffs, what could the Bucks have to gain or lose in these games?
Well, the Bucks were doing really well when all of this stopped. So they had a league best record of 53-12 going into this stoppage. So if you're a team that's playing really well and you have a lot of momentum,
you're on a roll.
Sure, the last thing you want to do is stop. So it's certainly not ideal. However, this is going to be a big test of how strong that team is in just restarting and playing in this sort of unusual situation and being in kind of, they're all staying in hotels together. They're not really supposed to be bringing in guests, and there's no fans, obviously, that are going to be around to view the games and the stands. So they're going to have to band together and figure it out. However, they, like I said, they have a really good record. They're the best team in the league going into this. So they, right now, based on the seeding, if they're able to hold their first overall spot, once they start the playoffs, they would be playing whoever the eighth seed is going to be. So it's it'll be similar, I suppose, in terms of the strength of the team that they're playing heading into the playoffs. However, it's just going to be a different environment, and we'll see how everything gets handled.
Yeah, what would this bubble be like? How is the league going to be able to prevent outbreaks?
That's a fantastic question. I'm not entirely sure. They say they're going to be testing players regularly. When the players arrive at Disney World, all of the players, everyone who gets there, has to self-isolate in their hotel rooms for up to 48 hours until they have two negative coronavirus tests. So that's just to make sure that there's no one that is in this bubble that has the virus. And they're not allowed to go into each other's rooms. Each team has their own chef and food room. So they're doing their best to try to keep these people separate when they're off the court. But at the end of the day, basketball is a contact sport.
Yeah.
They can take as many precautions as they possibly can to try and minimize the spread of the virus. At the end of the day, I'm not entirely sure how effective that's going to be. We don't know what's going to happen if one player gets the virus, if five players get the virus, if 15, if, you know, we could keep adding up the numbers.
Olivia Reiner covers the Packers, Brewers, and Bucks for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're looking at the road ahead for pro sports during the pandemic. How do you feel about the NBA's plans for restarting league play? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the coronavirus spread around the world in recent months, we've watched tournaments and games, other sporting events all be canceled, like Wimbledon, Boston Marathon. Others have been postponed, Summer Olympics, Tour de France. The Major League Baseball Players Association has finalized a proposal for a season of 70 games. How do you see the Brewers looking? The NBA's Board of Governors approved, as we've been talking about, a proposal for 22 teams to return to play on July 31st in Orlando. How do you think the Bucks will do? We're at 800-642-1234. We have Olivia Reiner with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So, Olivia, you would think that the Bucks roster, they would be healthy and rested up after this time, the stay-at-home time. But what are the players looking like right now? Because they probably haven't been on the court.
Yeah, it's been difficult for them to get their typical exercise regimen in, as it is for any athlete at this point in time. They're just doing their best, which means that when they get back to Milwaukee on that tentative date, June 30th, they're going to have to capitalize on that time as much as humanly possible. But they're all at home hanging out with their families just like the rest of us are, which honestly has been kind of fun to keep an eye on social media to see what new father Giannis has been up to with his new son. He's very prolific on TikTok and has been posting lots with his son. So it's been kind of entertaining.
Proud dad.
But yeah, they've got a lot of work to do.
How is Giannis doing? How is he staying well? What can we tell?
Yeah, it looks like he is. It looks like he's healthy. He was doing pretty well heading into that break. The Bucks don't really have any major injury issues right now to be concerned about. No players that had season-ending injuries. So Giannis looks like he's doing well and looks like he's having a lot of fun with his son.
Which teams look like the Bucks' biggest obstacles to winning the Eastern Conference and advancing to the championship series?
I think it's a lot of the same teams that it's been in years past. The Toronto Raptors are not too far behind the Bucks in the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics are up there, and even the Philadelphia 76ers, all strong teams. But the Bucks have been the favorite this season, and for good reason. Like I said, league best 53-12 when play was suspended in March. So they have a 6.5 game lead over the Raptors right now. So there's a good chance that they can keep that top seeding in the Eastern Conference heading into the playoffs.
When you're looking at the Western Conference, what do you see there for teams to watch who might down the line play the Bucks in the finals?
I think really the Lakers could be the team. Mm. Maybe we see a little bit of Giannis and LeBron.
Oh my goodness.
In the finals this year, I think would be a lot of fun for Bucks fans and just NBA fans. I mean, what a matchup that would be for the NBA. I think after being deprived of sports for a really long time, having the NBA start back up and for the finals to be between the Bucks and the Lakers would be a really awesome matchup, but we'll see what happens.
Super satisfying. So let's switch gears here. What is happening in Major League Baseball's negotiations to restart the season? I mean, you mentioned earlier that they've been in the thick of this renegotiation. What does that look like between the players and the league, the coaches?
It's been a mess, honestly. I was just going back over sort of the timeline of everything that's happened over the last several months, and there is so much back and forth. It's almost like it would make a really great movie maybe one day, a great documentary one day, just to try to track all of this.
Don't worry, Olivia. ESPN is all over it. Multifaceted.
Great. I'm sure they are, and they should be, because it's intriguing, and there's a lot of drama here if you're into that sort of thing.
Where's the drama? Right. What's going on behind closed doors?
The drama is that, like I said, the league, the owners and the players can't seem to agree on anything, and they can only agree on what they've disagreed on. And the crux of the issue kind of goes back to a meeting that they had a supposed agreement, I suppose. I guess it really was an agreement back on March 27th when the two sides reportedly came to an agreement as to how much money how many games that the league would play, that they would play this upcoming season, how much money they would be making and paying out to the players. The big issue, I think, in this is that the players want to make as much money as possible. They want to earn their entire prorated salaries. So that means they would be earning the normal amount of money that each player would be making per game. They want to continue to make 100% of that money. They understand that the season is going to be shortened at this point. However, they want to make the maximum amount of money. The league, on the other hand, the owners, they would like to save as much money as possible. So they would like to play, in theory, as few games as possible and to be paying a discount each game to each player. So that's sort of where the sides are. It's very much rooted in money. We haven't really even gotten to the part that, oh yeah, we're in the middle of a pandemic and they're going to have to make sure that the protocols are in place and the guidelines are in place to keep the players safe. It's just been focused on the money so far.
Talking about the return of pro sports with Olivia Reiner from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where she covers the Brewers and the Packers and the Bucks. Olivia, have any Brewers players been outspoken about concerns that they have with the pandemic and playing at this time?
Yeah, I think there have been some concerns about the pandemic. However, the concern, I think for the most part, the players would like to get back to the game. There is some concern about health and safety, but I feel like that has been, like I said, so far in the past at this point, where now the anger and the vitriol is being aimed toward the owners at not being able to come to any sort of agreement as to what this upcoming season is going to look like. And we've seen players like Christian Yelich pointing to a thread of tweets from Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer about how the league isn't operating, they're not negotiating in good faith right now. And there's, I think, again, all of the issues going on in this world, whether it's the coronavirus or whether it's the death of George Floyd and the subsequent protests, all of that has been overshadowed by these negotiations.
Well, circling back to where we started with the Packers and the NFL, what are their plans for play this fall?
So the plans right now seem to be business as usual, which in my mind is a little bit confusing again, because it can't be business as usual. There's no vaccine and the football is a highly contact sport. So there's going to be some issues when it comes to getting the season up and going again. Right now, I believe the tentative start date for training camp for the Packers would be July 28th. And then they would have their training camp. There's been some talks of having an abbreviated preseason and getting into the regular season a little bit quicker. However, there hasn't been a whole lot of discussion about, you know, yet about what the health protocols are going to be, what the testing protocols are going to be. I'm assuming that they are having those discussions. However, right now, it really does look like business as usual.
Well, looking at economic numbers, if the Packers don't allow fans into Lambeau, what could that mean for Green Bay's economy?
It's not great. It would hurt. The entire town really benefits from having visitors come to Lambeau Field, coming to Green Bay for a long weekend, a weekend, and staying at hotels and eating at restaurants and shopping in the community. That's a huge economic boost in Green Bay. And for that to not be a factor would really be devastating for the entire economy. It's really a shame, unfortunately, but it's certainly looking like that's the way it's headed.
Olivia, before we have to leave you, where do you focus your attention when so many sports are sidelined?
Man, I think there's always stories. There's always something going on. At the beginning of this pandemic, the focus was on the pandemic and talking to players about how this has impacted their preparation for the upcoming season when it comes to the NFL, especially, and talking to Packers players. And then after George Floyd's death and after a lot of the protests started happening, it was on, you know, how are you doing? What is the team doing? What conversations are you having with your teammates? The reality is that this world, the players live in it too. And what's going on in our daily lives impacts their lives too. They care about everything just as much as we do. So
Olivia,
it all is over interwoven.
Olivia, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time. I appreciate it.
Olivia Reiner, sports multimedia reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just ahead, it's a WPR Explorers Club Hour with the members of the crazy awesome PBS series Odd Squad. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.